yourself back to together there for a minute. Oh, God's good to us. It's really been on my heart. I have no idea where that mic is.
I was sharing with Brother Melvin out here Friday. I'm burdened. I really am. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with us. I heard two beautiful songs this morning. Couldn't get no better. About the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. In that last song, talking about beholding Him, that King. And we walk through our life. I walk through my life. And it's like it's water off a duck's back. It's easy to come in here and enjoy what we've enjoyed thus far. I'm not saying that, but what about this afternoon? What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the rest of the week? Why don't we get stirred? Why is He not so glorious to us at work and at school? And I'm reading a book right now. I've shared some of it. Man, it's just tore me up about me. Here's a man witnessing to atheists, and communist atheists, that have been embedded in their mind from the day they were born that there is no God. And a man would stand in jeopardy of losing his life and witness to these people, and to witness to a man and a woman that were sculptors, and the woman was being pushed on, nudged on by God, and she says, "There's got to be something out there. I have thumbs." Says, "Without my thumbs, I couldn't do anything. Somebody gave me thumbs." Amen. And we've got God in freedom and liberty in America. And He means nothing to us. Let me back up. He means nothing to me. Preacher, that sounds terrible. He don't mean nothing to me like He ought to mean to me. This morning, how? I mean, really. Really. We're not being religious. We're not being spiritual. We're just being a realist that I am. Where's it at? Where's the power of God in the church? Men of old used to stand and preach this same book. Not educated men. God called, God filled men. They would preach and people would fall on their face weeping because they were so under the whelming of God. Where is that? What's wrong with me? I have no answers, just a lot of questions. All I know this morning, the problem's me, and it's never been God. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But I just want to ask you, would you just ponder the thought a little bit this morning about how real is He to me? How real is He to me this morning? Well, what a beautiful something. She done, talent-wise, Brother Russell and Miss Autumn, they knocked it out of the ballpark. I mean, beautiful. But what they sung about is more important than how they sung it. And I thought about Mike. Boy, Wednesday night, he bailed him. He really saw Him. But I don't want to wait till then to see Him. I want to see him today and tomorrow. Sure appreciate you. Love you. Take your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter 24. Preacher, we're here for a Christmas message. You got it. You've had it. There it is. I forgot to mention, do remember visitation this week. They had three saved. I think they told me Wednesday or back up Thursday. So we praise the Lord for that. And then we had a good day out here holding signs Friday. So appreciate that. No Bible club this Saturday. We won't have Bible club again until January the 4th. So I do remember that. All right, Luke chapter 24 and then Mark chapter 6. If you want to just sort of stick your finger in Mark 6, we'll be there eventually. Luke 24 is where we're heading off to first this morning. Sure love the Lord. Luke 24. Maybe this morning this is what's wrong with me. I don't know. Could be. Could be what's wrong with you this morning. I don't know. I know the answers are in this book. Luke 24. Let's stand together as we read. We're going to start in verse 13, Luke 24. This is just right after the crucifixion of Christ. They watched him hang on Calvary. They watched him take him down off that cross. They buried him. Verse 13 says, "And behold, two of the disciples went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and in word before God and all the people. Verse 20 says, And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Verse 21 says, But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Time out just a second right there. Look at me. Don't listen to these idiots that tell you the Old Testament's not for you. What did Jesus use? He went from Genesis to all the way to Malachi and says, "Here, everything you're reading is about me." That's what he told them. All right. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses, all the prophets that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whether they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, thank you so much, Lord, for God, the good songs we've enjoyed this morning. God, thank you, Lord, how you stirred my heart. God, Lord, you know better than I know, Lord, what's going on inside my head. God, the things that are running around in my mind, and God, the things that just seem to consume me today. Lord, I just pray this morning, God, that you'd help us. God, I need help. Lord, I'm not looking for this or that. I'm just looking for clarity. And I pray this morning, God, that you'd help us. God, you know the heart of every person in this building. God, you know what they're thinking. You know what's on their mind. You know what's in their heart. And Lord, I pray today, God, Lord, that there'd be a change in each one of us this morning. God, that we would leave this place a whole lot different than what we came. And God, I just ask you, Lord, if there'd be one here today that's lost, God, I pray today would be the day that you'd speak to their heart and they'd surrender all. And God, they'd come and bow themselves before you and ask you to save them. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, again, to help the hurting, help the sick. God, be with our young people this morning in their classes. I pray, Lord, you'll touch and bless there. God, have your way, and we'll thank you for everything that you do. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. You'll be seated this morning. Here this morning in our text, again, we find two of the disciples there. We know one of them's name. I believe the other one's his wife. That's just my theology. I can't prove that, but I believe that's who it is. We find two of them, though, walking this pathway on the Emmaus Road there. And as these two people had followed them, they knew Christ. They had been disciples of Christ. They had followed after Christ. They had watched Christ. They had heard Christ. They had seen Christ. And now they're following back to where they came from. They're going back to the house. And they again had, as we look at the scriptures here, they were broken because of everything they had seen. They'd watched the one that they'd followed be crucified at Calvary. They heard the hammering. They heard the crying. They watched the blood, I believe, flowing from his side and from his head. I can't imagine what must have been going through their mind. They watched all of that, and they listened as Christ cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They watched as Christ cried out to God, "God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And they watched as the skies turned dark and black and all the things that took place. Then they watched as they took that beautiful body of Christ that wasn't too beautiful that moment to the physical eye, beaten with that cat of nine tails, whipped to the place that his insides were, to the place that they were almost to gush out of him. His face scarred where they'd smacked and beaten him. Not the pretty pictures that artists paint today. A gruesome picture. They listened as the Romans laughed and mocked. They listened as they parted his garments. They watched as they took that body off of that cross, limp and dead. They watched as they carried that body to the tomb and rolled that stone over that hole and left. And I know that for us that have stood by that graveside with a loved one, that's probably one of the hardest places to walk away from. But boy, I'm glad this morning that I know that that's not nobody, that's not him or her laying there. That's just an old body that's going back to the ground. I'm glad to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord for the saved person in heaven. And boy, the others, boy, I'm telling you, if you're lost, oh, how hell. The horrors. But they watched as Christ was placed in that tomb. Now being the third day after the crucifixion, they come to the place where they made a choice. And this morning, every one of us, you make choices every day. I make choices. You make choices. Here we find them going to the house, talking and walking. And as they're walking towards home, the Bible tells us that a visitor come up beside them and began talking with them. This visitor, of course, we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says they didn't know him. Their eyes didn't behold him. And as they're walking, this visitor, Christ, comes in beside of them and begins to listen and begins to talk to them. And he says, "What's wrong with y'all? Why are you responding the way you're responding?" And they look at him, not knowing it was Christ, and says, "Are you just a stranger? Don't you know what's just taking place? Don't you know that Christ, the one that we followed, they killed him? Our own people had him crucified." And the Bible tells us here that the Lord did something very, very interesting to me. Look with me in verse 28. This is the thing that I want us to ponder a minute this morning. There's something that the Lord did here in verse 28 that just draws my mind this morning. Here they're walking, they're talking. The Bible says that he began to talk to them, telling them about him through the scriptures. And that's still how it's done today. Verse 28 tells us there, he says, and they drew nigh into the village. What does that mean, preacher? They were getting close to the house. It says they drew nigh into the village, whether they went, and he, being the Lord Jesus Christ here, he made as though he would have gone further. You see that? Now, let's get it back in perspective. Here's two disciples walking, made the choice to go back to the house. It's being the third day. They've already heard that he's risen. They even say it was just like the women said, he's not there. But they hadn't found him yet. So here they are walking and talking, and here Christ comes in beside of them and begins to talk to them about the scriptures. And when they got close to the house, the Bible says that he would have went further. Now, I don't know what you see there, but let me tell you what I see. I see a beautiful picture of Christ, a side of Christ that most people don't think about. But I see something about Christ this morning there that is wonderful, but to me it's also scary. What do you see, preacher? Here we see two disciples and Christ walking. This morning, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is walking in our midst this morning. He's going to walk by you this morning. He's going to come by. They sing that song, he passed by. Amen? Yeah. Hey, the Lord's walking by us this morning. He's sliding by your pew even as we preach right now. These young people, he's walking by them this morning. And the Bible says about these disciples that were going back to the house that the Lord would have went further. And I think this morning how many times the Lord has walked by my way. And I didn't respond in the right way and he kept walking. How many times you sat in a service and the Lord walked by you and pricked your heart. But you didn't respond, and guess what? The Bible says that he would have went further. They were going to the house. They came to an intersection in the road. The Lord was going on this way. Their house was that way. This morning, I believe every person in this building, we're at an intersection. The Lord's, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? He would have went further. The thing I see about the Lord this morning that's so beautiful about who he is, but so scary to me about that fact, is this morning I see that the Lord will never, never, never force himself upon you. They were going to the house. He said he'd have went further. Now this morning, I want you to think about who these people are. These wasn't some drunk in the street. These wasn't some heathen. They wasn't some atheist. They had walked with the Lord. They knew scriptures. They had listened to Christ speak of himself through the Word of God, from Moses through the prophets. And they get to that place in that intersection and they could went that way and the Lord says he was going that way. I wonder this morning, has knowledge puffed us up? Do we know a lot about this person named Christ? Do we know the motions of church? Do we know how to go through the rhythm of what people think Christianity is supposed to be about? The Bible says there in verse 28 there, I think it is, that he would have went further. You see that? I wonder this morning, is Christ walking by your way this morning? Is the Lord speaking to you? Is he walking with you and talking with you? And he's heading one way. But he'll never force himself on you. Look what they did though. Look at verse 29. You know the Bible says over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, this is what's so amazing about this. Let's look at it. Hold your place there in Luke. Look with me over in 2 Peter. Most of us can quote this verse, but let's look at it. Second Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 9. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now let me ask you something this morning. Don't we all believe that Christ wants us to be saved? Don't we really believe that the Bible teaches us it's a whosoever will salvation? Don't we believe this morning that Christ desires us to be saved? Sure he does. But this morning, he's going to walk by your way. But if you don't want him, he'll just keep walking. They approached the village, and the Bible tells us back over in Luke chapter 24, let's look back over there. Verse 28 says, and he made as though he would have gone further. But then look at verse 29. Here comes a changing point in their lives. It's the same changing point in my life. It'll be the same changing point in your life. The Bible says, but they constrained him. They constrained him. This morning, you've got a purpose. You've got a place. And this morning, when Christ walks by our way, we too must make a choice. Do we constrain him? Or we just let him walk on by? That's what I had to do. That's what you've got to do. Not just for salvation, but I believe in everything in our lives. But the Bible says they constrained him. Now, picture in your mind what's taking place. The Bible says he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide. Boy, I'm glad this morning I can say he abides in me, and I abide in him. See, this morning, for me to have salvation, he has to abide in me. This morning, have you ever constrained the Lord to come and abide with you? You don't have to beg him. They didn't have to plead with him. They didn't have to rationalize with him. The Bible says they simply constrained him. You call, he'll listen. You cry, he'll hear. But the Bible says here, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. This morning, if you're here this morning, you might have religion down pat. You might have baptism down pat. You might be know your books of the Bible. You might have a knowledge of God or Christ. But this morning, the key is, does he abide in you? See, they knew. They had seen. They had heard. But it wasn't to the place where they constrained him that he abided with them. Look what happens after they abide with him. Things change in a hurry. The Bible says in verse 30, it came to pass as he sat to meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Notice what happens. Their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, and while he opened to us the scripture, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known them of them in the breaking of bread. This morning, boy, I'm thankful for the day Jesus Christ came by my way as a 13-year-old boy there in Vacation Bible School. And I knew how to go to church. I knew how to carry a Bible. I knew when to stand up. I knew how to sit down. I knew how to behave around the house of God. But I didn't know him. And he come by my way and he began to speak to me through the scriptures and began to speak to my heart. And I saw him for who he was and I asked him to come into my heart. I constrained him. And guess what he did? He turned in and he forever abides in my heart. But you know, I know that's a true fact for salvation. But let's go a little further. Look with me over in the book of Mark. There's another instance where this sort of same thing happens. Jesus is walking by you. He might have just stepped over your lap right now. He might be knocking on your door right now. Why don't you constrain him? Why don't you say, Lord, come with us. Come inside and abide. I'm glad I did that as a 13-year-old boy. I know without a shadow of a doubt if I died right now, I have no doubts in my mind that I'd be in heaven. No doubt. Nothing that I did. It's all about what Christ did. But God just doesn't pass by about salvation. There's other days that he comes by my way. Look with me here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Here's what the Bible says, and straightway, this is verse 45, Mark 6, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Those two disciples constrained him. Now he's constraining these disciples to do something. And to go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. See it? He's walking to the two disciples and he was going to go further. Here he goes walking out on the sea. He sees his disciples out there in the midst of a storm, toiling and rowing and fighting and just a terrible part of the day for them. Verse 48 again says, walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. Verse 49 says, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up to them into the ship. And the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Look at me. I know this morning Christ came by my way as a 13-year-old boy. And I asked the Lord to save me, and I thank God for that day. And there's probably many of us this morning, you can think back to that time. I don't know how old you was, don't know where you were at, don't know the situations, but I can tell you if you're saved this morning, you got saved the same way I did. The Lord came by and you asked him to save you. This morning, I really believe there's people here this morning, you know a lot about Christ. You know how to work church. You know how to fool mom and daddy. You know how to fool the preacher. But you're not going to fool the Lord and you're not going to fool yourself. And the Lord's walking by you this morning. I beg you, constrain him to come in. But then there's people like me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But I get out in the midst of this storm of life and I'm rowing and rowing and rowing and I'm troubled and I'm troubled and life's up, life's down. I don't know what to do. And man, this happens, that happens, this comes, that comes. And the Lord's going to come by during the storms of our life. He sees us rowing and rowing and rowing. He sees us holding our heads, trying to keep the water out of our mouths. What if they hadn't cried out? Where's he going? He's walking on by. This morning, I don't know what your problems are. I just know a little bit about mine and my wife's. I don't know what you're going to face this week. But I know this morning that if the Lord's walking by and he sees us a-rowing and a-crying out, hey, friend, this morning all you got to do is cry out to the Lord. And he'll say, don't worry, it is I. He was going to walk by. Guess where he's at now? He's taking care of the storm. He's calming the winds and the sea. All that rowing, all that trouble, all that torment now has disappeared. Why? Because I asked the Lord to come on back in. Take the wheel, Lord. I can't drive this thing. It's too big for me. Why do you wait till you're running off in the ditch? Why don't you just surrender today and say, Lord, I can't do anything. I just need you. See, this morning he was going to walk by those folks there on Emmaus Road, but they constrained him. He was going to walk by those disciples there on the sea, but they cried out. The thing that God showed me is many times he's walked by my way and I just let him keep on walking. Lord, I got this. I don't need you this time. Lord, I got money in my billfold now. Don't need your help. What's wrong with me? Why don't I have that power? Why don't I see the move of God like once was? Maybe he's walked by and he kept on walking. I can tell you this. I believe the Lord will walk by your way at least once. But after that, I can't promise you nothing. There's several examples of people in the Bible that God said, you don't want me? Do it yourself. He'll let you. This is how I'm closing. I believe with all my heart the Lord's walking. Sir, he stepped right by you. Ma'am, young person, he's here. Are you going to let him walk on? Is your family a mess? Children a mess? You better cry out. Let me ask you something. Me and Brother Mel was talking about this Friday. It's all about choices. The Lord's walking by your way this morning. You've heard Scripture. You felt the move of God. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Well, not today. As Brother Melvin says, you just made your choice. You said no. Why don't you quit saying no this morning? I want to see the Lord. The only problem I know of is me. He's coming. He's walking. The Lord's saying, it's me. It's me. Not today. Let's stand, our heads bowed and our eyes closed.